You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Your man Bruno Mars.
Listen. Listen.
Listen.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, so it's been what, 2.5 years since Uptown Funk?
Yeah, my it's to the point now where like my daughter and her fifth grade band last year, like they played that song at their like one of their recitals. It's hilarious. Hilarious. Like there's Out of Here, and then there's when your song gets covered by elementary school bands. You know what I'm saying?
Uptown Funk. So like if you go to a wedding that still has an actual band, which means they probably like cover like a lot of big hits, they're covering Uptown Funk.
Absolutely, without question.
It's on the wedding list. It's on the wedding playlist from here till whenever.
Two other records that are also in that category recently have to be Get Lucky and Blurred Lines, right?
I would think so. Blurred Lines is hurt a little bit because we've all decided to that Robin Thicke star burned really bright, and then woof.
Well, it was his follow up. It was Paula. It was the divorce. It was the Paula and all that stuff.
Did you see he has a song with Nas? I just saw that.
I did see that, and I heard it was good. I haven't heard it yet.
I'm trying to think what that sounds like.
I mean, Robin Thicke has been all over the place musically in his career, and I don't say that in a bad way. I think there's certain styles that he does better than others.
Right.
So I'm open to it. My thing with how the Blurred Lines follow up was, I mean, everybody wants to be rich and famous. Then you dangle all the things that come with being rich and famous, and then you like ostracize them for indulging in those same things.
Right.
So of course he was going to go crazy, and you know, I'm sure there were various opportunities for, you know, him to, you know, indulge in infidelity and all that stuff. I don't agree with it, but I get it. And then we're like, oh, he's such a bad person. Like, well our culture like fosters that and pretty much tells you from the time that you're born, you want to be rich and famous. But then these are the things that come with wealth and fame. I don't know. Whatever. Anyway, whatever. Bruno Mars.
Yeah. So 2.5 years since Uptown Funk. That wasn't even his album.
That was Mark Ronson, right?
Mark Ronson. So this is his follow-up to Unorthodox Jukebox. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's 4 years.
Walked Out of Heaven, which was super hot fire.
Right. So now he's back with 24 Karat Magic.
Yep.
Boy, let me say this.
Okay.
He is an incredible musician.
Yeah.
Like, this song is, now whether we can talk about whether we think it's good or not, it is exquisitely produced.
Oh my God.
It's like, you could just, it's like, it sounds like money.
Yeah.
Like in the way that when Dre was really like in his like prime, his element, some of those Dre records would just sound like money. Like you could hear the audio engineering time. Just, you could see the little ticker. Like this song just sounds immaculate.
So I would say Scott Storch is in that as well.
Yeah. Tell me you saw the video.
Of course I did. That's why I brought it up.
Oh, admit it. That was dope.
It was dope. I wanted him to go into like, you know, his coke phase. I wanted him to go back.
Well,
I did.
See that, like, so one of the times I saw John Legend live, probably 2005. Yeah. Early 2005. Yeah. Cause it was actually Valentine's Day, 2005. Obviously I took Marissa. And he, at the time he did this little like interlude in the concert where he basically got on the piano and played and did a little harmonizing to like a bunch of stuff that he was featured on. So like some of the Kanye stuff and like him doing the background vocals for, you know, Alicia Keys, You Don't Know My Name. Like he did a whole little thing of that and it was like a minute and a half long. That's exactly what that video reminded me of, except of course it's Scott Storch.
Yeah, of course.
That video is just fantastic. The worst part is I think I saw, was it Swiss Beats who posted it?
Are you still...
I needed Swiss Beats.
Are you still ad-libs. Following Swiss Beats?
I'm not. But I think somebody reached whatever it was. But I needed Swiss Beats ad libs over him playing piano. That I think that would have been amazing.
Showtime. Yeah, right. That would have been
right. That would have taken him to a new level. But anyway,
Fat Man should have been somewhere just there. I don't need his ad libs. I just wanted him to be there to know that it could happen. This could go down.
How there's not a Swiss Beats app that just lets you get all the ad libs. I have no idea.
Just throwing money away.
Right. Cause then you could just have like, it comes with like some of them for free, but then you pay for the whole pack. Come on.
Yeah. It's right there. It's right at the rim.
24 karat magic. I can't wait to see like the pop sort of radio's reaction to this song.
Mm-hmm.
Because this very obviously emulates and borrows heavily from an era of R&B music where there was still significant segregation. Like stuff was played on R&B, on R&B radio, or what they at the time, they literally just called black radio.
Yeah.
Or this stuff was played on pop radio.
Yeah.
We don't really remember that now, but like, I think it was a thing that ran on Grantland one time about like the 1984 American Music Awards, where it was literally like best black singer. It was something where you're just like, oh God, why are you calling it that? But you know, they were a little more honest about their racism in the 80s, apparently. But to hear like this, people are comparing it to Uptown Funk, but it's a totally different sound than Uptown Funk.
No.
You think it's the same sound?
No. I was saying no. It's. I was agreeing with you.
Right. This is Zap. This is.
There's also a lot of Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five in here as well.
Yeah. I mean, he's barely singing until the hook. You know.
Yeah.
So I'd be really curious to see how pop radio reacts to this. But you know, nostalgia is a hell of a drug, man. I am so torn by this song. Because it is so well produced as a pop song that you can't help but want to like it.
Yeah.
But parts of it feel overwhelmingly corny. But I think that's probably why it will work. Because I went back and watched Uptown Funk before we jumped on Skype. And the only thing I could think of was, this is kind of corny.
Uptown Funk is ridiculous. See, but I never liked Uptown Funk.
Okay.
I thought it was way too corny. And it reminded me way too much of Was Not Was, Dude the Dinosaur. It's like the exact same song. I'm good.
How do you feel about 24 Karat Magic?
I agree with everything that you said.
Okay.
It's like as a writer, you sometimes go into the depths of like emotional places to pull out deep, introspective, triple, quadruple entendres, like just all this wonderful ways of writing and expressing maybe one simple emotion, love, anger,
right,
you know, hate, bitterness, hope, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. Then you hear a record like this and it's like written so simple, but it's like, it's just done so well.
The execution on this is, there's unbelievable.
No flaw from an execution standpoint. I like the record. I don't ever say, you know what? I want to hear 24 Karat Magic. It sounds bright in my car. It sounds bright in my headphones. Like the video, I mean, putting out the video, putting everything out on the same day, like helped a lot.
Right.
Here's my problem with the song.
Okay.
It's one of the problems that you talk about all the time in music.
Uh-oh.
I'm in the studio song, right?
This is the I'm Rich song.
No, this is a hit song.
Oh, it's the I made a hit song?
Yeah. Like they start off saying we're back again. Like, oh no. You're going to like this song. Like Uptown Funk was a hit because it was, you know, a good song. We'll say that. It's good. Whether I like it or not is irrelevant, but it was a well produced song as well.
Very well produced pop song.
But this is like they went into the studio, let's make a hit. And so I don't know if I've ever seen a let's make a hit song become a hit to the degree that I think they think it's a hit or that they want it to be a hit and that it sounds like a hit.
I mean, isn't this right out of the 97 Puff Daddy playbook, though?
Without question.
Okay.
Because here's my question. Here's my question. Where am I going to hear this record at? Because that's how you can tell this is going to be a hit. Because before, in the Puff Daddy era,
yeah,
MTV would just play it every hour on the hour.
Right.
Nowadays, it's licensing. Am I going to hear this on TV? Am I going to hear this during a basketball game, a baseball game, a football game? Like, where am I going to hear this record? I don't know if I'm going to hear this record anywhere. Maybe a movie, something like that.
It'll be played at a wedding, that's for sure. Assuming it gets big enough. Well, I would say the same thing about Uptown Funk. Like, I think, so we'll have to see what the reaction is, but so he's on SNL this weekend.
Okay.
He's performing it live.
That's what I would like to see that.
Which is the same move he did to debut Uptown Funk. It's the exact same playbook. So
I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, right?
Well, right. We'll have to see. I don't know. It's one of those things where I feel like this might be a better done version of Uptown Funk. I just don't know if this is the right time for this song.
This should have been like before the summer, right?
Yeah, this doesn't feel like an October song to me.
I can see it working in the winter. We'll agree with you.
It's so weird because like Uptown Funk, I'm pretty sure on the show I talked about it. I'm on record. I knew immediately.
Yeah.
I was immediately like, oh no, this is out of here. Now, did I know it was going to be one of the most successful singles of all time? Which it is, which is amazing. No, I didn't. But I knew it was going to be incredibly successful. With this one, there's like a 75% chance it's really successful. There's like a 25% chance it's kind of a flop.
Yep.
And I can't quite place why.
Because it's a good record. It's a good record because it's well produced. Is it a good record because it's a good song?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like everything about it is executed so well. Like you said, you want to like it.
Right.
But, you know, Uptown Funk now, like you said, you're absolutely going to hear it at weddings. And it feels, here it is. Because of that, it's obligatory. So, yeah, you're going to play it at a wedding because that's what they created. That was the intent when they created it.
Right.
Versus this is good. I have to play this at a wedding. I have to play this at a basketball game or a football game.
Right. I can't wait for the song to be number one for 5 weeks in a row. And then you and I have to come back and be like, okay, we were wrong.
That's fine. I mean, we're 240 episodes in. I don't know how many times we've eaten crow, but we've definitely done it a time or 10. So
yeah, we're not ashamed.
Whatever. At this point, like you don't care. Like right. I I don't know if people do this with you, but people always come to me and like want to argue my opinion on something they heard on Clock Radio Speakers. Like, yeah, I heard you didn't like blah, blah, blah. Well, I felt blah, 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 and I'm like, all right, that's like, cool,
man.
Yeah, that's what's up. I see how you could come to that conclusion. Right. More power to you. Goodbye. So, yeah. So what else? What else is there to talk about?
Let's talk about your man, Dave East.
Okay, let's talk David Eastern.
David Eastern. So, okay. Where do I begin? let me say this. I'm not going track by track on this. This was better than I thought it was going to be.
Interesting.
This, if Dave East, if you could transport Dave East to like the late 90s, early 2000s, the label would have made him get a hit single and they would have made him get like a primo record. And
so what would have been a hit record?
Like
in
they would have said, you know, go get, you know, we'll get you on the Neptune, like something like that. You know what I mean? Like they would have given him that treatment because this is an album full of album tracks.
Yep.
I know they had the single for Keisha, which I like until I realized that the twist at the end isn't really a twist.
I mean, you saw it coming
the entire time. And I was kind of disappointed by that, even though up to that point, it's actually pretty well executed.
Yeah, it is. It is.
But it'd be like, this reminds me of one of those late 90s, early 2000s, like albums in The Source that would have gotten four mics, except if you remove, let's say you remove like the two obvious singles and then the one street record with the big name producer. You remember that formula? It's like, okay, I know those three records because one leaked out earlier and the other two I've seen videos for and the rest of this, I have no idea what's going on and some of them are good and some of them aren't. This is what happened. To me, this is like an album that's missing those headline features.
Yeah.
And it's I get it. It's a, by the way, this is the first time I've ever seen this term. It's a retail mixtape.
Yeah. I saw it on Audiomack.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's a mixtape, but okay. It's a retail mixtape. That's an interesting way of putting it. This is his last, this was like, so he's now signed to Def Jam,
mm-hmm.
but, this is the album before the album or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it's not bad at all. He's actually good at rapping. He's not the most clever lyrical schmerical guy by any stretch of the imagination, but he knows how to rap. There's definitely a very like, I hear the New York heritage. Obviously there's a lot of like nods to that. I really didn't need to hear Fab singing auto-tune.
Oh my God. And ruining such an incredible Donnell Jones record.
You know, Beanie was, oh God, it was hard. It was really hard to listen to Beanie Siegel on that.
Really?
Yeah. His voice, I just can't, it's tough. But I don't know. This wasn't bad by any stretch. I could even, I wouldn't be surprised if people really kind of like it. But for me, it's like 15 tracks of album tracks.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What'd you think?
Well, I saw he just released the video for Type of Time. And that seemed to be the other record besides Keisha that people liked.
Yeah, that's a Cardo on the beat.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, you know, I like it was written too.
Was that the intro?
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Yeah, the intro's dope. Intro's dope.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This is a bunch of album cuts. I also agree with you. If this was late 90s, early 2000s, I could hear him like linking up with Lil Jon and Lil Jon giving him like,
oh, right.
He gave Mobb Deep. Remember that Mobb Deep Lil Jon record?
Yes.
I could totally see him doing that. I think everything about Dave East is done well in terms of his marketing. What he represents is very popular right now.
Which is?
That era, that late 90s, early 2000s. I came up on Def Jam, Cam, Diplomats, Kiss, The Lox. You know, that era is really, really popular. So if you come out on record and say, that's what inspired me, and then you make music that sounds like what they would have made, you're going to hit.
Yeah, that the beat, if I remember correctly, the beat on that SDE record actually sounds like the synth work and everything on there. I was like, you know what? This actually sounds like an interesting like update to that like late 90s, early 2000s synth.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't mad at that at all. Like we say this all the time. It needs to be trimmed. Like, there's stuff on here I could do without.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, lots. No. But yeah, I think we're on the same page with this.
Yeah. So I
interrupted you. I'm sorry. All right.
You're good. So I think it's one of those instances that I talked about with Isaiah Rashad and a few other artists where the idea of him or them in theory, the artist in theory, the MC in theory, people ascribe to that. And I've been saying this for the last year and a half, like Dave East can rap. I need a song from him. Mm. Keisha was very close to being that song. Like it's a dope record, but you know, I feel like Cam or Kiss or one of the people that he idolized did the record better. Even the I'm talking about a girl, but it's really hip hop, that record. And then the last record, Don't Shoot, where he starts off as a kid and then it's his experience with police brutality as a child to a teenager to a young adult to an adult. They just sound like 2001 mixtape rapper first album stuff. I'm just not crazy about this project like everybody else is. I like Dave East a lot, but he needs to be around people who will tell him no. Because if this was a retail mixtape and then you put out the tweet that says, oh, this isn't my real album, this felt like a first album. Because it felt like every single idea that you've ever wanted to do for your first album, you did on this. My boys are in jail, so let's do a record about sending them commissary and what they're going to come home to. And, oh, let's sample the Jeanne record, Sending My Love, and let's flip that. It just reeked of Jadakiss's, like, third album had it come out in 2004 or something like that. I keep going back to it wanting to like it, and I think people like it because, in theory, Dave East is incredibly dope, but his execution musically still isn't there yet. Still not there yet. So I'm hoping that Def Jam links him up with some producers who can produce records for him, because I feel like he's an artist who needs direction. He's one of those artists that needs to go and travel and see the world. And like we can do all the J. Cole slander in the world, but there was a difference from Sideline Story to what was the name of that album? Cruel Summer, Cold. What was it? Born Sinner. Whatever. I really wasn't trying to slander him, and then I slandered him by not knowing it. But there was like he saw some stuff between that second album, and then between that and 2014 Forest Hills Drive, he definitely saw stuff.
Right.
So whether we like Cole as an artist, there was definitely some growth in progression just in terms of how he postured himself as an artist based off of what he, based off his experiences. And I feel like that's what Davies needs. I think he needs to travel. I think he needs to see some different things. I think he needs some different people in his ear, on his team and in his corner to kind of give him some different advice outside of, hey, you're from Harlem, so you should do X, Y, and Z. Like, he needs to get around some people who have actually done what he's trying to do.
Mm.
And I think that that will help him out tremendously. So I still think he has super duper potential, but I wasn't crazy about this project the way everybody else seems to be. So I'm still rooting for him, but I'll give him, Type of Time is okay. Oh yeah, because like all the records end up sounding the same. You got skits, like 2.5 minute skits on it.
It's too much.
It was too much, and you aren't well-rounded enough as an MC to hold my attention for a 16-track album. Because now all I hear is, I get money, I just bought this, I'll kill you, got your girl doing this, my daughter is this, so now I have to do this to provide for. Like, all right, 16 tracks? All right. This didn't need to be trimmed. This needed to be split in like fourths or thirds. Like this could have functioned as a 6-7 track project. And he would have been good. So, all right, I'm done.
All right. Let's talk about the album of the moment. Switch gears completely from Dave East.
Ooh, let's talk about it.
Solange, A Seat at the Table. So have you been a Solange fan for a while?
Yeah, I was late to the party, but I was still earlier than a lot of people.
You were late to the party, but early to the party.
Yeah, like I was late, but everybody hadn't arrived yet. So her first album is really, really dope. Or not her first album, I'm sorry, her second album. Because her first album was, that's when they were trying to like make her be Beyonce Jr.
Yeah, I went back and listened to the Neptunes single off that.
Yeah, nah. But her second album
was that Hadley Street Dreams.
Yeah, that album was dope. I didn't hear True, but yeah, Hadley Street Dreams was really, really dope. I wasn't expecting anything from her. Like I wasn't like, you know what I need right now?
Solange.
A new Solange album. I wasn't thinking about it at all. So this was a surprise. I won't even say pleasant, but it was definitely a surprise.
Yeah, I'm pretty late to the Solange party, so I'll admit that up front. Hadley Street Dreams was one of those records where I was like, I should go listen to this, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I should have listened to True, but I didn't.
Yeah.
So here I am. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, you know, back in 2007, I heard the mix. No, listen.
Right. All right.
I don't know. So let's talk about the album a little bit. Do you want to just go track by track on this?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Let me say right off the top, because I got credits for everything. The biggest thing, I listened to the album the first time I listened through, I hadn't looked at the credits. And one thing I didn't realize, this is like halfway a Raphael Sadiq album.
Yeah.
And then I went back and listened to it again, and I'm like, oh, right, Raphael Sadiq.
It's totally a Raphael Sadiq
right.
album.
So opening song, Rise, produced by Solange, Questlove, and Raphael Sadiq. How do you feel about this song?
It's okay.
I feel like it sets the tone for the album.
It does.
It's a little repetitive, but because it's only like a minute and a half or a minute, whatever long, it's not like it. It really is more like they took the intro track and split it into Rise and Weary.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at Rise.
Yeah. What makes it repetitive is that like everything fades out and then it comes back in and it's like the exact same. You know what I'm saying? Just with like an added synth or whatever that noise is that is off. That's going to be a reoccurring theme in talking about this album. Off sounds and weird, awkward chords. It's cool.
But it flows seamlessly into Weary.
Uh-huh.
Produced by Raphael Sadiq and Solange. With a tweet sighting. Tweet!
Yeah, tweet.
Who knew?
Oops, oh my.
That record is, I still love that song. It's a classic.
Yo, Tweet got joints on like the lowest of keys. I think Pete, I was called her Pete.
Well, the hardest thing is you trying to say her name now, it has a totally different meaning.
Right. Nah, Tweet, the people who know about Tweet know that she has joints. They know that she has joints. So it wasn't a shock for people to pick up on her because she's like a singer. similar to how all the singers I know love Brandy. Like the general public is like, oh yeah, Brandy, yeah, yeah. But like people I know who can sing love Brandy, like obsessed with Brandy. Same with Jasmine Sullivan, even Fantasia, people like that. Love, similar to like, you know, most producers or most people in hip hop, like, yeah, Dr. Dre, yeah, DJ Premier, but like you and I are nerds and we're like, yo, Knots in 2000. Like we'll reference Sean J. Period, just random 88 keys, son. Where they're like, who? But like heads know. So Tweet is in that conversation where like there are like R&B heads just like they're hip hop heads and they love Tweet. So I wasn't shocked to hear, but it was nice to hear.
So
with that being said, I'm not crazy about this record.
Really?
Yeah.
I like this song.
I'm not surprised.
Wow.
I mean, I don't say that in a bad way. I know that I'm in the minority of not liking this record.
This is an album that, like, the first time I listened through, I'll just be upfront. Like, a lot of this, I was like, this is cool.
Yeah.
The songs, some of them have a little bit of depth to them.
Definitely.
The more you listen to it, the more they sort of warm their way into your head.
Good Lord.
We get to The Glory in You featuring Percy Miller.
Listen, hey, a week before this came out, somebody put out a mixtape that had a record called Ode to Percy Miller. Mm-hmm. I just want to know that I just want to state for the record, I have been a huge champion of Master P, a.k.a. Percy Miller, No Limit Records, for years when it wasn't cool. When the same people who were like, yo, Master P on this album was a genius. He was talking that talk. Y'all were the same ones who thought No Limit was ruining hip hop. Get out of my face. I want to hear it. He was very fake deep on this album, though. I just want to point that out. He's very fake.
I love how you go into Charlie Murphy as like
wrong.
A little bit of Charlie Murphy, a little bit of Rick James, definitely a lot of Chappelle Show in that voice.
Listen, man, I miss Chappelle, man. That's my era. The funny part is people don't, the quiet is kept. Like you kind of have to put me in a headlock to watch Chappelle Show.
Mm.
I wasn't on it. I think the food is what made me watch it. Like you were like, yo, you're not watching. They just Common and Kanye just did a new song. I was like, eh. And then now it's this. But anyway, Solange.
Cranes in the Sky. So this has a video. This is one of the singles along with Don't Touch My Hair.
Mm-hmm.
This song is not amazing to me, but I'm not mad at it. And I know people like this one.
Yeah, this was the runaway. I'm hearing people are playing this like in the club.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I was not crazy about this record until the day before yesterday.
Okay. What changed your mind? It just clicked?
It like much of this album, it just weaseled its way into my head. First time I heard this album, I thought it was whack.
Mm.
I was like, nah, this ain't it. It's awkward. I'll get into it. But this is one of the records where, like, for the longest time, even up until the day before yesterday, I tweeted it. Like, I didn't listen to the first maybe four or five tracks on this album. But after the day before yesterday, I was like, yo, Cranes in the Sky is nuts.
It's cool.
I dig.
It's a very, I mean, like, I get it, it's called Cranes in the Sky. It is a very light sound to this song.
What do you mean by light?
Like, just the production. Like, there's some other records on here that warm their way into my head a little faster.
Yeah.
I like the beat on Mad.
Mad has not done it for me yet.
No? How you feel about Wayne on this?
He's kind of clunky on here.
He's clunky on the first part of it, but I don't mind him on the second part of it. But I like this beat. Mm. But Mad's not doing it for you?
Nah, not right now.
What about Don't You Wait? This is Sampha, Solange, bunch of other people on production.
This song is amazing.
So switching up the sound a little bit, right? Because the first... I mean, granted, there's two interludes, but the first six tracks were firmly in Raphael Sadiq mode.
Yep.
Right? And here we get, the drums switch it up a little bit. I'm not mad at this song.
This song is great. This song is beautiful. Mm. Yes.
Okay.
This song is beautiful. This was the second record to click for me. But when this clicked, I literally listened to it for 2 days straight.
Wow.
And didn't listen to anything else.
Okay.
The song is amazing. Yes.
Okay.
And here we are.
The interlude, Tina Tommy, right into Don't Touch My Hair.
Mm-hmm.
Don't Touch My Hair, produced by Solange, Sampha, a bunch of other people, including, shout out to him, guy who I met at the Francis show, Starchild, who who opened up for Francis, actually. So shout out to him. But Don't Touch My Hair. People really like this record.
They do.
I think it's good. I like the breakdown with Sampha. I like the horns at the end. But up until that point, I from a message point of view, I totally understand why people would like the song. But
yeah,
separating that out, which I know for a certain type of music fan is like, it's what you and I argue about the most, right? Can you separate out the message of the song from the song itself? I can. And when I do that, the song itself, like constructed as a song, I'm like, this is cool.
Yeah. So this song is so awkward.
Why do you say that?
The chord progression is so bad. The beginning, like when she's initially singing, like, Don't Touch My Hair, like that part is perfect. But soon as more instruments come in, it's like just a slow fall down several flights of stairs. It's so bad. The bass is off. The percussion is off. The chord progression is off key. Sampha sounds like he has an air bubble in his throat. It's just bad. But again, it weaseled its way into my head.
So bad, it's good.
So bad. Now those things don't matter. And the record's dope. The record's super dope. And I like the horns as well. And I love the horns going into the, I think that's another masterpiece kit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are No Limit horns.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are definitely KLC horns. I agree with that. Yeah. Cause that chord progression, God, the initial chord progression is like something that I would hear out of 80s R&B that I absolutely love. Sounds like some Alexander O'Neill, Luther Vandross, just, I'm like, yes, never. I have not heard that sound in a very long time. Let's go here. And then it just.
Yeah, that might be dude Starchild, like knowing his sound is super 80s. So that might be a little of that. But anyway, Don't Touch My Hair. How do you feel about the videos so far for this project?
Very fake deep.
Mm.
Very fake deep. I asked like, you know, what is this? And people thought I was slandering, and I was like, no, seriously, like somebody explain it to me. So one of my homegirls explained the concept to me. I get it, but
yeah,
man, that's not for me. Yeah. It's totally not for me, but that's cool. It doesn't need to be.
So the next actual song is Where Do We Go? Produced by Solange, Rafael Sadiq, a bunch of other people. Ooh, this beat is hard.
This record is ridiculous.
This is like if you took like 2003 Dre, but then gave it like some warmth.
Mm-hmm.
Because 2003 Dre was pretty cold sounding.
Yeah.
This is like a warm Dre.
Yeah.
Harmonies on this are incredible too.
Yeah, when the hook like comes to its point, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like the build up on this and the chord progression on this is great. It starts off hard, then it like strips everything and it builds back up. And then once it reaches its apex, it goes somewhere. Oh my God. It's just very well done.
Where Do We Go is a great song.
Yes, it is.
That beat though.
I was trying to find some space. There's definitely some space, but I was like, nah, I'm going to let it live.
Slice that up, reconstruct it, do some things.
I know we can. I'm like, nah, I'm going to chill.
Who's button 4.5?
Yeah, we totally could. If I'm rapping over Rihanna records, Solange can get that work too. But nah, I'm going to chill.
Can we talk about Forest Bias?
Yeah, with your man Tarius is in the building.
Tarius, BJ, Tweet's got some background vocals on this.
Yeah.
I can't wait for her to perform this with a bunch of white people singing the hook. You think they'll do it like knowingly? Do you think they understand the concept?
Well, here's the thing. When I was in when I went to go see Kanye, I don't know what record it was where he was like, he was saying the N-word. And I was looking around to see if people were saying it. People were saying it.
Of course they are.
Yeah. People were saying it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay.
Like, oh, we're here.
We're here. Like, what am I going to turn around and like punch the 15-year-old girl singing? Like, what am I going to do? It's just where we are. But yeah, this Forest Bias, this is another one that had to grow on me. I didn't like this record for a long time.
I like the outro. Again, the horns that kind of kick in. Again, very KLC.
Mm. Yeah. Agreed.
This song itself, though, it's good. It's cool.
Yeah.
This one grew on you, though?
Yeah, this one grew on me. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. This record is dope.
Borderline, An Ode to Self-Care, featuring Q-Tip, produced by Q-Tip and Solange.
Oh my god.
This is cool.
Fucking.
Tell me why this is better than cool.
This was, up until like maybe Saturday or Sunday, this was the best song on the album.
Really?
This was the first song that grabbed me. Yes.
You're such a Q-Tip fanboy.
You know what? I think I am on the lowest of keys. It's just not just real. Like, you know, I really like Q-Tip. The drums on here, great. The progression is just, it's a Tribe Called Quest record. I'm trying to figure out it's a record on one of their earlier albums that sounds like he just played it over.
I don't have it in front of me. I'm looking at the credits. Why do Timbaland and Static Major have credits in this? What are they sampling, or what lines are they using?
I don't know, dog.
All right, hold on. Now I gotta go all look up the lyrics. Yeah, it's an Aaliyah record. What record is it? Oh, It Interpolates More Than a Woman.
Does it?
Apparently. Who knew?
What? Okay. Whatever.
Oh, there's just one part at the end. Like at the end of verse 2 where it's Baby I've Been More Than a Woman. But apparently that's enough to have to give writing credit to Timbo.
I'm sure Aaliyah's estate is like coming for everything.
Except Aaliyah doesn't get writing credits on that.
Mm.
Timbo and whoever's got Static Majors.
Interesting.
But yeah, Borderline is cool.
Okay.
It's cool. Even though it's an interlude, I Got So Much Magic, You Can Have It interlude with Kelly Rowland and Nia Andrews.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
You know what record I like though is Junie.
Junie's really dope.
This is Raphael Sadiq and Solange. This really picks up when you get to the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And then the outro to this is,
I feel like people sleep on this record.
You gotta stick with it.
Yeah, you do. You do. You have to. And then it's surrounded by so like such a good run. Like this is a good run of records. Like we're really into the meat of the album. And then this record is like, it doesn't immediately, like, where do we go? Just hit you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Don't You Wait, Because It's Such a Left Turn, hit you. For Us, By Us, just even the concept alone, hit you. This record doesn't do that. You have to be patient with it. And I don't know if the audience, I don't know if its position on the track listing, people are willing to give it that, but this record is dope.
Yeah. This is one of my favorites. I like this one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So after another fake deep Master P interlude.
Yep.
Don't Wish Me Well. It's cool.
This is the outro to me.
Mm.
This is the outro. I don't listen to anything after this.
Yeah, I think you and I are on the same wavelength about we'll get there in a sec. Yeah, this is cool. I think you really like, so this is another Sampa record. Maybe you need a Sampa solo project.
I do not.
No?
He had one. He has one. It's not good.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he has one. It's not good. I mean, because when you think about it, like, he did Too Much for Drake. Like,
right, right.
He's got joints, but then it's like Fauntleroy, where, like, the stuff that Fauntleroy does for other people is great, and even his collaborative stuff, so Cocaine 80s is great. But when it's just James, it's good, but it's not, like, I need to go back and listen to this. Like I think Fauntleroy just put out a record this week, and I was like, all right.
For some reason, up until that last second, you were saying Fauntleroy, and I thought you were saying Farnsworth Bentley, and I was like, yeah, you know, the stuff he's done has been. I was like, wait a minute, Farnsworth was in Cocaine 80s? I was just rolling with it. I was like, huh. And all I could think of is that GIF of the video with Kanye and all.
of course, classic video. Listen. That record is underappreciated. And by under, I mean not appreciated. That was a great record.
I don't know if it was a great record.
Nah, it was a great, nah. Everybody was a dope record. I think the problem was it got the Pharrell and Kanye number one treatment, where you're like, oh, snap. You got Kanye, Andre, and who else is on that record?
Now you can make me look it up.
Somebody else is on that record.
Oh, I forgot about the song Colors.
Was it Creators of Lovers of... Uniquely Raw Styles or something like that. Colors of Lovers of something.
I think it's just Andre and Kanye.
Okay. So Andre and Kanye in 2000 and was that six?
Yeah, seven? Whatever it was.
Yeah. That was that post-graduation?
Maybe right around the same time, maybe pre-graduation a little bit.
Yeah. So off the rip, people's expectations are like, yo.
Right.
And it wasn't that. It was something completely different. Oh, Sarah. That's who I was thinking.
Oh, Sarah. Oh, that's another. People kept trying to make them happen.
They really did. And they
just didn't happen.
Just didn't happen. It happens.
Yeah. So I think you and I are both on the same page with scales.
Nope.
It's all right.
Nah.
It's okay.
I'm good. Excuse me. I'm good. I'm good with scales. No, thank you.
So this was the number one album in the country.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
What was it going up against?
Not much, because it didn't really sell all that much. I'm increasingly wondering how much that matters. Although it actually, I got to say, the streaming numbers for this were unbelievable. They were off the charts.
Yeah, I'm sure. Sure. Yeah, I saw she got like, how many records did she get? I think Don't Touch My Hair, it got like 11 million views in like 3 days or something like that.
Yeah, like this blew up.
Yeah, similar to 24 Karat Magic got 1 million views in a day.
Right.
So put out the video the same day as the album.
Yeah, Armand. No, I'm just kidding.
Don't tell them everything.
You give away all the secrets anyway, in slow motion on the show.
I kind of do.
You just let out little bits every week. A little bit here, a little bit there.
I mean, you know. I'm excited. I'm excited. I've had some really good conversations this week.
You're a rapper. You can't help it.
Listen, man, don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect me.
Okay. So, seat at the table. You were surprised by this album.
Very much so. I was not looking for this to be as good as it was. I wasn't expecting anything, but then when I got it, I was like, no, but then it kept calling me back. There's a lot of things wrong with this album from my nerdy, fake, artsy-fartsy musical ear. Like, no, we should have did this, and she should have did this. But I would stop listening to it, and title would just pop up on my phone and say, hey, Ramon, you want to listen to the Solange album again? You want to give it another go? And now it's all I listen to.
Mm.
So, I mean, hey.
Hey.
Is what it is. How do you feel about this overall?
I feel like it's good. I feel like it's going to grow on me if I listen to it more. So that's the real question. Do I keep coming back to it? I think part of that for me will really just depend on what else comes out this year. Like, does something else kind of, because we all have finite amounts of attention. So like, does something else come out that makes me go, yeah, this is the record?
Right. Right.
Because there are some other albums out right now that I kind of have to slowly like ease my way into. Like the Bon Iver album is challenging.
Who's the other guy? There's another guy who put out an album this year and people were ranting and raving about it. And I heard it and it was the most depressing ball of crap I've ever heard in my life.
James Blake, probably.
Yes. What was that? And why do you like it? Somebody please tell me. Hit me up at CRS Podcast. Hit me up at Armand Wake Up. If you are, what's his name? James Blake?
James Blake.
Why? Do you like that? Do you like Doc?
James, he's got some stuff I like. I didn't listen to his album at all, though.
Okay. I get that. Like, that's cool. But, okay, whatever.
He's like, but all y'all.
Y'all, exactly.
Y'all. But yeah, I mean, because, you know, I'm listening to the Francis and the Lights album. I'm listening to a little bit of the Bon Iver album. I'm listening to, you know, still listening to Frank Ocean, still listening to some other stuff. So we'll see where this slots in.
Mm.
Not listening to a whole lot of hip hop right now, though.
Nah, no. Listen, you rappers got to step it up. Here's something that I noticed today. I was listening to a song today. I'm not going to say who it was by.
Okay.
Because stuff happens. So I'm done with you rappers who sound like you don't care whether you rap or not.
Mm.
Like I'm done with you too cool for school rappers. If you don't care, then why should I? Like I'm not here for that. I want to hear some passion and some urgency in your music. This Solange album, it sounds like these are things and situations and circumstances and issues that were heavy on her heart. So despite how I feel about them, agree, disagree, whatever, like I feel this album.
Right.
And I've said this time and again on this show, like you rappers, like y'all got to give me something to feel. Y'all not doing that. Y'all being real passive aggressive, too cool for school. No, I'm not here for it. Somebody do something that nobody else is doing. Somebody take a risk. Somebody, please. I won't rant. I'm good. I'm back.
I was just going to say, I think there you are again, giving away your secrets.
That's not me giving away my... I've always been passionate about my... When have I ever been too cool for school? I'm too passionate. I care too much.
I just first taked you. I baited you right into that. That was fantastic.
I hate you.
You're like, I'm not passionate. Boom. Off you.
Don't ever in your life like pull a Stephen A. Smith on me ever. Ever. In the weed.
So yeah, so I'd be interested to see. I feel like this album will have some replay value. I feel like people will dig into this because I don't know. I think part of it too is people want to see Solange succeed.
Yeah.
She's been at it for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So good for her, man.
Good for her. I agree. Yep.
All right. You got anything else going on, man?
No.
So before you signed, you put out a mixtape.
Yep. Snooze Button 4. So that's available. That's available now. You can get that on SoundCloud, Bandcamp. Thank everybody who has supported and who's listened and checked it out and all that good stuff. Month of October, I am letting Versus go at an extremely discounted rate.
Ooh.
I don't ever do like collabs and things of that nature. Like I don't ever just say who wants the work. So, and I'm asked about it consistent enough for me to say, all right, let me do something. Let me give back on my birthday month. So hit me up, armandwakeup@gmail.com, or just hit me up on Twitter or whatever. If you're trying to get down on that, because once November 1st happens, I'm not doing this again. And Friday nights, from 8 to whenever really 9:30. I will be on the radio here in Columbus, 97.5, talking sports and sneakers and whatever else is going on. You can check me out there. That's looking to be a regular thing. So
you let me know when you want me to call in.
Oh, without question. No. We will absolutely be doing something. They're getting everything set up. We will absolutely have a call-in show. If you are not in the Columbus area, there will be a way for you to listen online, live, all that good stuff. Right now we're just working out the kinks and all that stuff. But once it's popping, it's good. But if you're in the Columbus area, 8 o'clock, 97.5, you can listen to me there every Friday.
Just make sure you have the engineer give every incoming caller the Puffy from Victory voice filter.
What does that even mean?
So they sound like they're just ranting and raving and
jealousy's a
yeah.
Got you. You mean Victory or do you mean My Downfall?
Victory. He has it on Victory too.
Oh yeah.
My Downfall. Yeah, that filter.
Okay, I got you.
I would say tell him why you're mad. Except that's been overused by every radio show over the past 20 years. So
and clock radio speakers.
Well, that's true.
So
I mean, you could just go to the next level and be like, this next segment's called "It's My Fourth Album, Y'all," and it's just have people call.
Nobody's gonna get that.
And we're like old.
Three people, right? Oh yes. My God! Listen.
So old, decrepit.
We are
just barely making it through life.
We are.
What was your example of why we're old?
I mean, this may not mean anything to a whole lot of us or a whole lot of our listeners, but some listeners will care. I just saw where T.I.'s first album turned 15 this week.
I'm serious.
I'm serious. It's 15 years old. Bruh. Just terrible.
Mm. I'm trying to think. Fall of 2001. Like what? For me, it's like, I don't know. There was Blueprint. What else? I'm trying to think what else came out. I'm looking it up right now. You hear me. All right. Oh, of course. Ja Rule. Pain is Love.
Pain is Love. That shut down everything.
Great Depression.
Ooh, what?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I have to.
Oh yeah, Luda's word of mouth.
I know. Go check out our Ludacris retrospective on clockradiospeakers.com. If you're a big Ludacris fan and if you say wonderful, nice things about Luda and his career, as you know, we all would say, go and listen to that retro.
Oh man, it has been almost exactly, next week it'll be 15 years since Disposable Arts.
Oh,
Master Ace.
Wow. That was like, Master Ace was like the rapidy rap internet darling in 2001.
Right.
Like that Disposable Arts album. That's the concept album, right? That's the one where he like went to school and all that.
And then there's Long Hot Summer.
Long Hot Summer had Good Old Love, right?
Yes.
Did that have Acknowledge, or was that
That might have been the other one. Oh, I forgot. Oh, you know what? I feel like Long Hot Summer is really dope.
It's got records. That's the one that had what was the name of that record?
Soda and Soap.
Yeah, what?
Soda and Soap with Jean Grey. Oh.
I don't remember that. Hold on. I'm about to pull, see if it's on title. Probably not.
Yeah, that's a dope record.
This of course whole, not.
I'm looking.
You probably got the original rip from 2001.
You know what? I'm going to go look right now.
Yeah, because it's definitely not on title.
Oh, no.
Hey, man, you guys aren't.
Master Ace. Let's see what Apple Music has. Has Disposable Arts and Long Hot Summer. Shout out to Apple Music.
Man. Think about it. Look, man, I signed up with Tidal and used my military discounts, and now I'm only paying like $5 a month.
Mm.
It's, yeah. It's,
Apple Music has a Master Ace Essentials playlist.
I really don't want to spend that extra $10 on top of five. But like, Apple Music is making it really, really hard.
Yeah.
Oh, do we care about this, about Jeezy coming out with Trap or Die 3?
Who? No.
I knew that. That's why I asked the
question. Yeah, you set me right up for that. Listen.
I think it comes out at the end of the month. I'm asking because there's no bigger fan of Young Jeezy Trap or Die than Doc_Beats, S not a Z.
Right. Now, he already sullied the good name with Trap or Die 2.
It wasn't that bad. It had some joints.
No. It was the Cuban Links 2 to Cuban Links.
No. Cuban Links 2 was just bad.
No. Cuban Links 2 was not bad at all.
No, it was bad.
You're confusing that with Mobilarity. Cuban Links 2 was not bad.
Oh, no. There's nothing to confuse with the Mobilarity.
No, Cuban Links 2 is not bad. Not at all.
It was bad.
But I'll say it. Wait a minute. Jeezy's working with Shorty Red again?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the two, have you heard the two records that have leaked for it?
I haven't.
Very, very generic.
Mm.
Very generic, which is why, so that's why I'm not crazy. Like, look, if this is going to be Trap or Die 3, again, the theory, like you rappers have to stop relying on the theory. Like, oh, it's Jeezy. Shawty Red is back. I'm working with D Rich. Like, you're working with all the people who made your sound, but what you're creating sounds like the stuff that we heard when we were telling you to get it together. If I'm putting out Trap or Die 3 and I'm Young Jeezy, I'm coming out the gate, kicking the door down, like releasing just a crazy stuff.
Right. Oh, wow.
That Trap or Die 2 intro was hard. Like, come on, man. So I remember hearing that intro and being like, oh, okay.
I'm looking at list of releases 2001.
Okay.
December 18th. Listen to this lineup.
Oh, God.
Nas, Stillmatic.
Okay.
Wu-Tang, Iron Flag.
Okay.
Master P, Game Face. Oh, no.
Oh, God. Was that the one with them jeans on it?
We're going to find out. No, this had, what was the single? Ooh Wee.
Oh, God. I love it when she's hanging in her thong. Ooh, yo, oh God.
Rocket.
Oh, that's terrible.
This is a bad one. Mystical Tarantula.
Oh, God.
But that's a bouncing back. You know, he tried.
He tried.
He tried. And then, oh, I'm not done yet. Rough Riders Volume 3.
I still have not heard that all the way through.
What? We did Rough Riders Retro.
I know.
Oh, God. And your man, the pride of Columbus, Ohio, Lil Bow Wow Doggy Bag.
Doggy Bag. Listen, Columbus be claiming Bow Wow now. Like, they, when I first moved here, like, Bow Wow was like the Antichrist of Columbus. And now they're like, yo, Bow Wow got classics. Shut up.
I mean,
shut up. Shut up. Miss me with all of that simultaneously.
Was it Wanted? Yeah, Wanted had Like You and Let Me Hold You.
Fire.
Let Me Hold You is, yeah.
Both of those records are fire. Bow Wow's always had joints. Out of My System, fire. Like, I used to like the record with Baby. Remember Let's Get Down?
Sadly.
That was peak Harlem Shake. Like,
peak Harlem Shake.
Oh, geez.
I forgot that he made a song called Puppy Love.
Yeah, he sure did. Whew. He sure did.
He sure did. All right, man. Anything else for this week?
No, I think we've covered more than enough. I think we're good.
we went from Smashburger to Solange to Lil Bow Wow. So, you know, that's a typical episode of Clack Radio Speakers.
Snuck in some Trump. You know what I'm saying?
A little bit of Trump, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for listening, as always. Use the hashtag Clack Radio Speakers. Let us know what you think. check out clockradiospeakers.com. You can check us out on fourthdistrict.com. Please, please, please rate and review the show. We appreciate it. And yeah, anything else, man?
Nah, man. See y'all next week.